Let's go. Let's goddamn go. Dude, I swear to God, sometimes this intro just hits different. And today it's hitting different. Woo! Welcome back to the Luke Kijalera. I don't know if it was the intro that was hitting different today, or perhaps it was the three pints that I had at the pub before I sat down to record this podcast. Either way, vibes are good in here. I'm in Darwin. I'm out of hotel quarantine now. Welcome to the Luke Kijal Hour. This is it. I'm Luke Kijal. Imagine if I wasn't. That'd be shocking. What a twist that would be early. It is me. Can confirm. I'm the host. But imagine if it was just like Tim-O-Matic. You know, and I was like, hey guys, sorry Luke couldn't make it in today. It's Tim-O-Matic here. Would you still listen? That would probably be better, to be honest, if Tim-O-Matic just did this podcast instead of me every week. What about if it was Andrew O'Keefe from Deal or No Deal, or Peter Hitchener from Channel 9 News? Would you listen? Let me know. I'd be interested to know your thoughts. Like, what is the level of celebrity that, say if we needed a fill-in host one day, right? What's the level of celebrity that would need to host this for you to have any interest? You know, I want to know where I'm sitting on the pecking order. I don't think I'm anywhere near a Grant Denyer level. I'm not even going to come into his realm. But I like to think that perhaps I'm creeping up to like a Jack Vigen, maybe X Factor contestant. Perhaps that. Definitely not on Reese Maston's level, but I like to think that I'm closing in on that sort of fame. Not that I'm definitely not pursuing fame, but it is like a nice little nugget. I guess a cherry on top of the comedy, which is a lot of fun, is the fact that perhaps one day, maybe I could get an audition to be a judge on Australia's Got Talent. I would obviously never get the role, but maybe one day I get an email and then they go, actually, fuck that. Who's this guy? Maybe. No, I don't think I'm. No, maybe one day I'll get a guest spot judge on if they did like a reboot that no one watches of Ready Steady Cook. I don't know. I'm trying to work out. You just let me know. Save the guy from Ready Steady Cook, the popular cooking show with capsicans versus green capsicans versus red capsicans. The point is, let me know if I was to get a fill-in host for this podcast one day, just in case I'm not available, you know, might have got caught up elsewhere. Maybe today, if I chose to have another jug at the pub, may not have been here. Who should I get to replace me? Is Tim-O-Matic good enough? Do you guys want more? Do you guys want a Sonia Kruger? You know, let me know. It'd be great to know. Anyway, there's no sound effect this week. Make it up in your head, all right? For once, use your brain. Have a bit of creativity. I'm not going to do all the work for you. I'm not going to sit here and play sound effects every week. All right, guys, it's time for the sound effect, and this is up to you. You just picture whatever you wanted to in your head this week. All right, it's sent in by your own mind. All right, here it is in 3, 2, 1. You guys, I wouldn't have done that one. I wouldn't have played that. But yeah, let me know which sound effect you chose to play in your head then. Jesus. So yeah, I'm out of hotel quarantine. I'm as surprised as you are. Few people probably have a few questions. Luke, if you're watching the video especially, I'm definitely not in hotel quarantine. I'm in a hotel room. There's a kitchenette behind me. Dude, I got a dishwasher now. My life fluctuates rapidly in quality all the time. That's what I've realized. I go from 2-star government mandated accommodation, like quarantine. 2-star is generous, by the way. If anyone saw the TV that was on my wall, to like a 4-star hotel within a day, and I don't even know where I'm going to be sleeping the next night. We got a text at 6 p.m. last night saying, because of Melbourne's lockdown and their ease restrictions, the Northern Territory was just like, oh yeah, you don't need to be in quarantine anymore. Anyone from Melbourne is all good, unless they've been in like a tier one exposure site, then you got to finish your quarantine. I hadn't been, thank God. So now I'm out. I'm chilling. We got the option to leave at midnight, but we had nowhere to go. So we just decided to stay the night. And they were like, get up at 7 a.m., be on your balcony by 7:15 a.m. and we'll come and collect you at 7:30. What time did they come? 8:30 a.m., dude. We waited on our balcony for 1 hour and 15 minutes. That was epic. That was lit. That was cool. But yeah, I'm in Darwin now in the CBD. And man, I'm a sucker for a bit of a shithole that has good weather. You guys know how much I love the Gold Coast? I'm loving Darwin. I haven't been here since I was like year eight on a family holiday. And I see the appeal now. A lot of pubs. Went to one at 11:30 a.m. this morning. Now that sounds sad. And it is. So I'm not saying don't judge me. No, no, no. Let that flow in. Hang on. What's that? Oh, what am I feeling there? Oh, is that it? No, it's your judgment. Thought it was a titty. It's not. It's not an imaginary titty for audio listeners. I'm squeezing the air. It's not that. It's your judgment, and I feel it, and keep it flowing in. Why was I at a pub at 11:30 a.m. on a Wednesday in Darwin? It's a great question, and the answer is, we couldn't check into our accommodation until 2 p.m. And I'll be honest, there's not a lot to do in Darwin. And we had all our bags were at the hotel, but we had a big old backpack. It was so hot. It was like 35 degrees. We went for a walk along the Esplanade for like 45 minutes. We just cooked ourselves. I was getting sunburned. I was like, dude, I need some refreshments. I'm parched. I've been in quarantine for 10 days. I need a beer on tap, you know, no alcohol in quarantine. Not that I necessarily need alcohol. That's not the case at all. Actually, that shocked me. I was reading like the quarantine thing. And it was like, this is a no alcohol facility. If you are experiencing withdrawals, call this number. Like, I know that like people get, I know that alcohol is a drug, but I just can't imagine like being such an alcoholic. Like just people who like need a drink, but they're like just sitting on the couch sweating because they're sober. They're like, oh my God, is that a thing? I thought you could only be like that with proper drugs, but I guess it is. So anyway, what was I talking about? Oh yeah, dude, people here get on it. I thought I was going to be like the only one. I thought Meg and I would be the ones sitting by ourselves at the pub at 11:30 a.m. when they opened. We walked in. It was 11:28. We're like, oh, maybe it's not open. Then the doors opened. And then I swear to God, like 20 people who were just in the area, kind of like around. There was one guy just like on his phone. Another couple sitting there. I didn't realize these people were waiting for the pub to open. The doors opened. 20 people rushed in. I had to queue up for a beer at 11:30 a.m. on a Wednesday. This place rocks, dude. Oh, my God. My people. It was so good. Like, there was a vibe at the pub at 11:40 a.m. Think about that. Not like a grim vibe as well. There were tunes. The sun was out. It's like 27 degrees. You know, like it gets to 35 in the afternoon. People are trying to knock out their beers before they get too sweaty. It was unreal. And every old dude here, for some reason, looks like stale Jimmy Barnes. Like every old guy looks like an old Australian rock dude. I've seen so many budget Darryl Braithwaites just rolling around and none of them have a clue what's going on. There was one guy pushing on an electric scooter. I don't think he knew that there was a throttle. It was incredible to watch. Just like a guy with one of those public hire scooters, and instead of just going and zipping around like all the skiing young people or the Darwin youth, he just clearly saw a scooter and was like, well, back in my day, we had to give it a bloody push and a shove to get this thing off the ground. And he did that. It was great. So I'm having a ball. I love observing the locals. Geez, it's so good. The pub was great. just great conversations all around. You know, the lady was like, the first guy who got a drink was like, "Hey, you been busy?" to the bar girl. And she's like, "Well, I just got to work. It's the morning, so not yet, but there's 20 of you here, so probably, yeah." And watching her process, that was great. She was like, "We've just opened," and the guy was just like, "So you have been busy?" Or, and I know he was trying to make conversation, but don't press her on the question, dude. So, I got, nothing like 3 pints and 30-degree weather just wipes you out for the afternoon. I just thought I'd go there, have a couple of beers, and then roll back, do this podcast. But I had like 3 hours sleep last night. So this podcast could be the greatest thing I've ever done, or just forgettable as hell. And honestly, at this stage, I regret to say it's leaning towards the latter. But you got to push through, you know. You guys need a podcast. I'm sorry it was late. The reason why it's late is because, unfortunately, shit went down with my Brisbane show. We don't have the details of the rescheduled venue yet. It will be the same date. So essentially, I'm having a real shit run at the moment. I was having a great run at the start of the tour with COVID and everything. And then recently with Melbourne being rescheduled, Adelaide, I'm just having a shit patch. We get to these shows, nothing's going wrong. I'm quarantining here just so I can do my Perth show. Oh, by the way, the Darwin show sold out, which is sick. So thank you very much to everyone who got tickets to that. That's on Saturday. I'm keen as for that. But yeah, I'm doing everything I can. And then as if we can't catch a break, oh, we've got a Meg here. Meg has arrived. How was the shops? Scary. Yeah, Darwin's a different place, man.
Dude, this is fucking wild. Hold on, hot scoop. So I was getting Luke and I deodorant, right? As you do. I'm looking...
because we stink like shit.
Yeah, we smell like absolute farts all the time. And so I'm looking for all of like this deodorant, right? I'm looking everywhere. I'm like, I can't find it. I even asked this guy behind me. I'm like, "Hey, do you know where the deodorant is?" And he's like, "Yeah, it's actually in that case." I'm like, "Oh, cool, okay." And so I go to open the case. I'm like, how do you get in the case? And he goes, "Oh, you have to press that button there." And a guy comes over and his fingerprint opens the case. And I was like, "You need a fingerprint to get in." So this guy comes over and I swear it's like just the only job that he has. And he's like, "Hey, get what you would like. Just deodorant." But what I don't understand is, so why is...
homeless people here.
No, but I don't understand why deodorant but not hairspray? Because doesn't hairspray have the same flammable qualities as...
No, it's because people come in who are homeless and spray deodorant on and then walk out.
Oh, that's just sad.
Yes, that's why when you started bringing it up on the podcast, I was like, "Do you think this is going to end with a laugh?"
Oh,
oh mate.
Oh,
did you really... did you really... you're lovely, but did you really think it was because they were making flamethrowers with the...
I'm not going to lie. I didn't think it was...
Meg has such an innocent mind. She's like, "Oh, it's probably because of the high amount of flamethrower use here." No. Homeless people come in and spray deodorant on and leave.
Like, well, that's a much worse reason than flamethrowing. I almost would have liked the flamethrower reason.
Yes.
Can I just pop the milk in the fridge?
Yeah, you do you. What was I saying? Oh, yeah, we're just having a shit run. So, oh, yeah, people who have bought tickets for my Brisbane show are probably like, "Hurry the fuck up. What happened?" So, COVID fucks a few shows. That's fine. You got to expect that in this climate, during this pandemic. Whatever. I'll deal with that. This one, straight up just unlucky as hell. The Brisbane venue that we booked, that I did my special at, like, it's a great venue. I've done it before. We're going to do 2 shows. One was almost sold out, right? Or is almost sold out. And then the venue contacted us and were like, "Hey, so the venue has asbestos, right?" And now it's really distracting. You just in the... No, it's fine. It's me. It's No, I shouldn't be distracted by someone. You're doing great. Yeah, anyway, the venue had asbestos in the building. So, like, we're not open. They're still doing tests. You're going to have to find a new venue. And it's, like, 5 weeks out from the show. So, we've been... So, my whole day when I was supposed to do the podcast on Tuesday was spent desperately just trying to scramble and find a suitable venue on the same night. Do you know how hard it is to find, like, a 500-seat venue on the same night, like, that 5 weeks out that I originally was? Because I didn't want to reschedule the date because, like, over 500 people have already got tickets to the show. So I can't, like, fuck around that many people. So I really... So we've found an alternative venue. It's not confirmed yet. If you have got tickets to the Brisbane show, just keep looking at your emails. You'll get it in the next few days. If you don't have it in the next few days, check your junk folder, check your spam folder. And then if you can't find it, email us and we'll sort it out. And so I think it's going to be at... in Mount Gravatt or something at Event Cinemas. It's going to be at a 500-seat movie theater. We're putting in a stage. It's a whole thing. It's not my choice. The venue we had bailed and there's no theaters available once you've already got tickets on sale. It's a long story. But anyway, check your emails. All the information will be there. It will still be on September 4th and there will also be an extra show we're adding on September 5th now as well on the Sunday. So if you haven't got tickets... bear with us and yeah. Cool. So that's why there was no podcast because I spent my entire day stressing and organizing that with Meg and being on the phone to venues and contacting almost every single venue in Brisbane. So yeah, I think it's all sorted now, but that is why there was no podcast. I do apologize. Hopefully this type of stuff will not happen next year because my brother is, I said it a while back, but he's coming over to like be my business manager and help out with all the touring stuff. So now when there's like an emergency, hopefully we'll no longer have to drop everything and do that. Cause whenever I have to drop everything to do something like that, it completely fucks the content of the whole week. Which is annoying because there's only a limited amount of time. So yeah, anyway, that's why the pod is late. And, what's been happening? So yeah, we're out of quarantine. That was good. Watching the old guy who I spoke about last week on the podcast this morning stress because they didn't come and collect us at the scheduled time. They were an hour and 15 minutes late when they said they were going to come get us for our departure from quarantine. They're like, stay on your balcony until we come. Then we'll get your trolleys and we'll get you all checked out. Because it's like a government thing. You got to, you know, be audited and make sure you got to sign a thing on the way out. La-di-da. But this old guy, dude, old people... And I said this last week, they're just the worst. Like, they cannot handle spontaneity. Like, a situation changing throws out their whole week. I'm young, dude. I'm youthful. I adapt, right? My Brisbane show gets cancelled. I go, hey, don't worry. Let's find an alternative venue. Dude, this old couple, like, and God bless them. They were just stressing and I felt bad for them. They were like calling up the reception like, hey, it's been... And by the way, this was 7:33 when they made their first call. I checked my phone, right? They were supposed to come at 7:30. It gets to 7:33. They're on the phone to reception. Like, hey, what? They said they'd be here at 7:30. We're here. No one's here yet. What's going on? The reception's like, okay, just chill out. Wait. They hang up. Gets to like 8 o'clock. It's been half an hour. Maybe that's when you make your first call. If you have somewhere to be. Like, well, me and Meg didn't give a fuck. We're like, we're going nowhere to be. Check-in's not till 2. Pub doesn't open till 11:30. We're cruising, you know? We just had a bacon and egg roll to consume at a cafe at any time. We weren't bothered by it. But watching this couple stress the fuck out made me anxious. I was like, should I be stressing? Dude, they called reception 3 times. I just hope I never get to that point in my life where something that small bothers me that hard. Like something, like my whole, like a show that 500 people had bought tickets to, heaps of money, lots at stake, that got cancelled. And I was like, it's annoying. And like, yeah, I was a little stressed, but I was like, that's all right, we'll just have to find an alternative venue. These dudes were 3 minutes late and this old couple were like, this is throwing up my whole fucking week. Let's get on the phone right now. And they're calling the number like, hello, dude. I want to make it my life goal to never speak to the manager. I'm just not about it. I will speak to the manager after an hour and a half. If I have to wait for something for 90 minutes, that's probably where I'll cut off. But not after 5 minutes, man. And yeah, life's good. Just chill out. I hope I'm not that old couple. Hello there, listeners across the galaxy. Attention. This is Commander Luke Kidgel letting you know about the new launch that's happened with Manscaped. The new Razor 4.0. They've released a new one, dude, and it's sick. It's launched all across the world, and they want me to do a space themed read, which I'm very excited to do, because this new razor, it gets your balls, it gets your sack, and most importantly, you can use it to shave Uranus. There it is. Boom. Go to manscaped.com, use the code BASIC, and shave that booty, dude. Yeah, it's a great shaver, would recommend, and yeah, use the code BASIC to get 20% off and free shipping off your order. And it doesn't just come with the shaver, by the way. It comes with I'm not stalling, I'm just trying to build suspense. The weed whacker. The Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, crop preserver, ball deodorant. That's right, dudes. Do you have stanky nuts? Then fix it, all right? And also comes with performance boxer briefs and a travel bag to hold your whole solar system. So get on it, guys. Use code BASIC. And yeah, thank you very much to Manscaped for sponsoring the podcast. It also can be used in the shower and has an LED spotlight you can turn on and off when you need. So you can have a more precise shave throughout your travels across the universe. Very clever. All right. Abort hairy balls and Buzz Lightyear that Woody with Manscaped. That's some good stuff. Guys, back to the podcast. The Olympics is happening. Oh, guys, can we just reflect on that last 3 minutes? Dude, that fucking sucked. Why did I think telling that story about the old people was good? I think it was one of those funny things where in the moment, it was fucking hilarious watching this old couple stress out and call the reception when I knew they were just running late because there's like 500 people checking out this morning because of the new laws. I knew what was happening. I was like, oh, they're just late because they have to check out heaps of people. Just wait, be patient because these people aren't being paid enough to do this. One of those situations. So it was hilarious watching them freak out and go, when are we get to leave? It's like, chill out. It's 7:30 a.m. Why are you pretending like you have somewhere better to be? I mean, they probably did, you know, like their house, but I don't know. Anyway, maybe it was funnier in my head. Whatever. Guys, I already said earlier in the podcast, this fogcast? I can't even talk. I already said that this might be forgettable content, and we're heading down that path. This is good, though. The Olympics is on still, and dude, I'm loving it. Every day, something new happens. That's why I like the Olympics, is because one day there's an Australian swimmer saying fuck yeah on the telly. The next day there's like a full-on scandal about something. It's amazing. Did you see that? The most Australian shit I've ever seen. The Australian swimming team are really providing the goods in Tokyo, really representing our culture in its peak form over there. This lady's being interviewed. I think she's just won a medal. And then they're like, do you have anything you want to say to your mum and your family? And then she just goes, oh, fuck yeah. And then she goes, oh, wait. And the guy's like, oh, yeah, we'll get the beeper ready. Ha ha. They didn't beep it. I think it just aired on TV. Nothing more Australian than that. Nothing more Australian than training your whole life, taking home a gold medal, and then on national TV going, I want to tell my mum, fuck yeah. That is culture, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm living for it. Did you see what happened at the start of the triathlon? So if you don't know, the triathlon, it starts with it's an open water swim. And all the athletes on like the starting block, I guess, like this big platform that runs out in the water, kind of like a jetty, and they're all ready to go off. There is a boat just sitting in the middle, 5 meters away from the jetty, blocking half of the athletes from diving into the water. And then they just go, 3, 2, 1, and start the race. Half the athletes jump in, half of them are like, what the fuck? Do I have to jump and swim under this boat at the start of the Olympics? Then the boat realizes, so some of the athletes start swimming, the boat's like, oh shit, I'm in the way. The guy in the boat starts to reverse. The people driving the boat just start to reverse out. Dude, they almost, watch the video if you can find it online. They almost reverse into one of the athletes. Some poor swimmer almost copped a propeller to the face while they're competing in the Olympic Games. Because then they just start reversing. Meanwhile, there's people swimming either side of the boat and they're trying to reverse out. While there's, imagine people swimming like fucking mental because it's what they've trained their whole life to do. And then other people are just standing on the podium being like, are you fucking kidding me? And then they just had to recall the race and do another start. I don't get how that happens in the Olympics. What kind of error over the radio is that where someone's like, yeah, we're all good to start the triathlon, you know, one of the biggest events where there's only one take at it in the Olympics. And someone was like, yep. And no one was like, hey, what about that boat that's literally blocking half the field from starting the event? No, and then no one said that. They were just like, yep, no, I didn't see any problems here. Not the giant military boat that's just docking off the jetty where they're about to start. And perhaps we'll cut the face off one of the athletes. So like, watch the video, 100%. Some of the athletes almost got beheaded by a propeller. It was fucked up. I felt like I was watching an ISIS video, but it was on Channel 7. And it was the Olympics. Fucking crazy. So, what else is happening in the Olympics? There was a bunch of other good shit, man. Oh, obviously the celebration of the Australian coach went viral. Again, Aussies just make things better. I'm sorry, but our culture is better than you. We may not be as good at you, you know, as, you know, we can't compete in the marathon. You know, Kenya's got that wrapped up. They got that shit in the bag. Ethiopia, they'll be like, thank you, try again. But we do have funny viral moments wrapped up. Is there a gold medal for that? There fucking should be. We are as good at fucking up the Olympic Games as we are at swimming, which is pretty fucking good as a nation. And it's been mainly the swimming team excelling at both. So it's great to see. Dude, that coach when Titmus won the gold medal in the freestyle, fuck, it was good. What a comeback as well. That race had me on the edge of my seat, right? And, oh, dude, it was so funny. Just that guy losing his shit. I thought he looked a lot like Heath Ledger, actually, which made me a bit sad. Jeez, way to fucking kill the mood then, Luke. Yeah, bring up another beloved Australian who's no longer with us. That'll be good for your podcast. Anyways, that was a good celebration. Man, I turned it over to the Rugby Sevens, and we were playing, who are we playing? South Korea. And god damn, I tuned in at like midnight. I was about to go to bed. It was 28-0. We were up by 28 like points. I just went, what happened in this game? It wasn't even close to the end as well. You know, I think we ended up getting like 40 points by the end. But it was 28-0. Like, I felt bad for these Korean blokes. Like, they're just not built for it. Like, genetically, you're trying to compete with like meathead blokes from regional Queensland running and crashing into you. And they're a bit leaner in the rugby sevens, but still something. I didn't really watch much of the game, but I just looked at the scoreboard and went, fuck, that must be brutal. Getting on a flight and then getting done in like your first match, like 40-0 by a bunch of Australian blokes. That's rough. But yeah, the Australia's been going well. It's good to see. I fucking love the Olympics, dude. It's so much fun. It's just like there's always something on to watch. There's honestly nothing funnier than just like, I pretty much watch it before I go to bed every night, which means I always end up seeing the same sports. I always miss the good shit. I always miss the skateboarding. I always miss the surfing. It seems like all the good shit happens during the day, the basketball. Whenever I go to bed, I chuck it on at like 1 a.m. I get stuck with like, you know, men's beach volleyball and equestrian. Or like a fucking write-off in the rugby sevens where someone's up by 40 points. And you're like, all right, great. And I caught the end of the women's water polo the other night, which it was fine. It was good. But I just feel like I'm getting the short end of the stick a bit as I tune into my seventh equestrian event of the games. I can only watch a horse trot for so long before I'm like, fuck, is this what I, you know, wanted to see? Because I love the Olympics. It's like my favorite. I'm really into sports. I think my favorite is just variety. Some sports just flat out suck to watch. I'm sorry, but if you can sit there for like an hour and watch fencing, you're the most boring person on planet Earth. It was like, I watched it for like 5 minutes. I was like, dude, this is the shittest sword fighting I've ever seen. It should be cool. On paper, it sounds fucking sick. Like, oh, go to the Olympics and have a sword fight. Like, hell yeah, dude. The reality is two people who look like they're robots out of iRobot. They look like the Michelin Man. They're just like fighting. And they're not even like, you know how sword fighting's cool because you're like, shing, and you're slashing each other, and like kind of like how Jedi's fight with the lightsabers, there's blocking. It's more of a poke. It feels like more like 2013 Facebook notifications. You receive a poke and you're like, what the fuck's this? It's not really sword fighting, fencing. And I don't also know how it's scored, because they're always like, huh, 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 and they're like dancing back and forth. And I'm like, all right, cool, cool. And then, you know, it looks like a physical stutter. That's it. Their body's like, that's what their body's doing. They just kind of go back and forth, and then eventually someone goes, whoop, gotcha. And then they just reset, and I don't really know who ends up winning the point, because you can't even see the sword on the TV because it's so skinny, you know? But yeah, no, the games has been good. I've been out here living for it. It's great to see. One thing I did want to do on the podcast was that we got a ripper. Oh, wait, just to finish off this Olympics chat, I think last week I was trying to figure out what the hottest sport was. And I've done a bit of research during the week. Obviously, I was leaning towards a beach volleyball, stuff like that. I don't think there are many hot sports. Look, all I can say is this. It's definitely not the weightlifting. Now, that's... don't want to be disrespectful to the weightlifters, powerful athletes, but I'm not the type of guy that's sitting there going, fuck yeah, you know. But I would say, for, you know, a mix of girls and guys, you'd have to say swimming is arguably one of the hottest sports, but also anything that's moist just isn't that hot. I don't know why. It's just maybe let me know. I forget. A few people messaged me because I posed this question last week on the podcast. A few people, I think what was one message? Someone sent me a whack one. They were like, no, it's so, like, I think it was a girl. Like, the guys who do, a lot of girls were into the diving dudes. But I don't know. I reckon, you know what might just be fucking hot? Just like shooting, you know, watch someone have that much control over a revolver. I don't know if that's hot. Maybe not. Honestly, I haven't watched too many sports where I've been like, this is a hot sport. Maybe hot sports don't exist anymore. You know? Who knows? But the answer to that question is, and I know I said I'd do an update on this week's episode. I don't have an answer for you. I don't think there's a hot sport in the Olympics.
Disagree.
What do you think the hot sport is? Is it diving?
The cameraman who, there's like the girls pole vaulting, and rather than like, you know, filming the event, this girl comes off and he just straight up films her ass, and I have to say, immaculate. Yeah. Absolutely immaculate. That ass. All right.
Well, yeah, athletics is, I guess, a hot... Yeah, you know what? Athletics is hotter than swimming. Because they're dressed like the swimmers, but their hair's not fucking wet. They don't look like a dog out of water. Yeah, okay, you know what? High jump and long jump, pretty hot sports. That booty. Girls and guys, maybe tune in once the athletics starts. So yeah, maybe, look, thank God Meg came in there with the save, because I was about to go on the record and say there was no such thing as a hot sport when I didn't even consider the thrusting that's involved in athletic jumping. What did I want to talk about? Oh yeah, I want to talk about this... email we got in from Charlie, listener of the pod. Thanks very much for tuning in, mate. And by the way, there's a new Luke and Meg podcast out as well. We discussed the new thing I'm obsessed with, which is snakes wearing hats. So funny, man. Have you ever seen a snake wearing a hat? Fucking adorable. Google it. But yeah, we discussed that in length and, you know, just a bit of more of a behind the scenes with quarantine, everything that's been going on. It was a good episode and, yeah, go check it out. It's up on the Patreon now. And the Patreon's been popping off, so I appreciate everyone. And also, we'll have a bit of an update, a bit of a special announcement on the next Patreon podcast as well, that I probably won't be announcing on here for a while. We'll see. So, yeah, tune into that if you want to hear that. And anyway, this email from Charlie, it's just simply, the subject is simply investments. So already, he's piqued my interest. If you don't know, we have a segment on this podcast. Unfortunately, Reese is not here, which is devastating. And I think it really shows with, you know, how often forgettable some of these episodes are becoming when, you know, I feel like pure shit, just want Reese back, to be honest. I feel like the quality definitely stoops, and that's a testament to Reese's energy and the great producing work that he provides to this podcast. But Reese and I started a segment a couple of weeks ago where we want to find out the best happy hour deals in Australia. Now, if you don't even think for a fucking second, hang on, what's the time? Oh, 5:20. Shit. Happy hour started 20 minutes ago at the pub down the road. So this episode may be cut short, but because I'm not going to turn out down a good deal. I'm not a fucking idiot. And also, we need to have dinner because I have to do a friend's podcast later. So anyway, we started this segment where we're trying to figure out the best investment deals all around the country. Happy hour deals. There's $6 schooners or maybe pints even downstairs. So, Jesus, that makes me thirsty. That makes me moist. This one came in from Charlie and this one blew my fucking mind. It's not actually a drink deal. It's even better. It's a chicken parma deal. He said, okay, so I've got no idea where I took this photo, but I took it a while ago in a Bottle-O when I was 14. So it's still on theme. It was taken in a Bottle-O. Are you ready? I'm now 19 and I still think about this every day. Every day this comes to Charlie's mind. And you know what? If I was Charlie, I'd also think about this every day. So this is 5 years ago. So we're talking 2016. I'm looking at a photo of a sign up on a wall that just reads $4.99 chicken parma with any drink purchase 6 till 9 p.m. with chips. I'll say it again. I didn't say $14.99. I said $4.99 with any drink purchase. Dude, I was going to get a drink anyway, right? Sure, buy a six pack. Then you get a, who gives a fuck what the parma tastes like? If it's chicken, that's a great deal. If you get chicken, Napoli sauce and ham and cheese slapped together on a paper plate, who gives a shit? It's $4.99 with chips. Charlie, I read this email about a week and a half ago, and I've actually thought about it every day since. I looked at a menu before, when I was thinking about having lunch at the pub, we decided to just wait and have dinner, right? I'm getting a bit peckish, not going to lie. I looked at the menu, $24 for the parma. I was like, why am I paying an extra $19 for this shit when I know I can just go to a Bottle-O back in 2016 and get that deal, scoop up those savings? It's insane. This is the craziest shit I've ever heard. $4.99 for a parma? How are they even turning a profit off that? Surely the chicken alone, the ingredients alone, have to be worth $6, including the chips, the ham. Maybe not. Maybe like $3. I don't know. Like what? What kind of fucked business venture is that? Like I like to consider that I'm a pretty good businessman. I run a tight ship. It might seem like a mess. I mean, it is a mess. Actually, scrap that. I'm not a very good businessman. No, but I'm definitely not so much as a bad businessman where I would sell a Palmer for $4.99. I'm happy to pay $10. $10 is unbelievable. If I got a Palmer for $10, I'd be like, oh, just shut up and take it. $4.99, honestly, just suspicious. You'd have that and be like, what? Not even what food poisoning will I get from this. Does it contain an STD? Can you get an STD from eating that? Maybe. Ham, cheese, tomato paste, and chlamydia, perhaps, on that bad boy. I don't know, but that's too cheap. So, yeah, great email, Charlie. Love that. Keep them coming in. To end the podcast, I did want to talk about this one news story I read. So this is a real thing, and I was excited to talk about this last week, but I ran out of time. The world's most expensive stamp was sold the other day. Now, not usually the podcast that, sorry, not usually the content that we usually cover on this podcast is stamp collecting content, but someone bought a stamp. Sorry, I'm just trying to find it here. You might have to do a little bit of an edit here, Reese, while I find the news article. Okay, I found the news article, and this is why it interested me, right? I was just scrolling the news websites. I might keep in the loop from time to time, mainly just probably looking at COVID updates and stuff. And I stumble across this story from the UK. The rarest stamp in the world, dubbed the Mona Lisa of stamps, returns to the UK after 143 years. So it's a 143-year-old stamp. Quite old, sure, but hey, still a stamp that you put on a letter, right? Let's not get too excited here. At the end of the day, no matter how rare and old it is, you slap it on a letter, you lick it, and you fucking send it off. Guess how much it sold for? £6.2 million, which I believe is like 11 million Australian or like 10 million Australian or something like that, for just for some perspective. For a stamp. That's insane, dude. The one-of-a-kind octagonal stamp will be displayed. Who gives a fuck, man? Who would pay that much money for it, right? It will be then locked in a vault before being displayed in a specially commissioned zero-oxygen frame. Now, I read this. And other people in the comments like marveling at it, going, wow, what a piece of history. Oh my God. Other people also like me, a little confused as to why you'd pay that much money with a stamp. All I can think about is, imagine being that much of a fucking nerd. Seriously, think about that. You have what I think is $11 to $10 million, right, Australian, £6.2 million, whatever. Right, I think it's like 8.3 million US, it said. You have that much money in the bank. Just ready to go, when am I going to splurge this off? And you choose rare stamp. Were you watching fencing? Why you made that decision? Because you're the most boring person alive. And then you buy this box that's like zero oxygen. Oh, I want to keep it in good condition. Honestly, have more respect for people who buy like mint condition Pokemon cards, okay? That is better money spent on a more premium cardboard. That is, I would rather like someone spend more on a footy card than a stamp. Dude, stamp collecting is boring as it is, and then there's spending your whole life savings on one. That's insane. I go to Meg, I told this news story to Meg. I'm like, dude, someone bought a stamp the other day for like $11 million Australian. She just goes, what? And then she just goes, yeah. I'm like, how fucked up is that? And she's a good person, right? So she was like, oh my God, like they could have started like an orphanage with that money. Or they could have like started a dog shelter and saved so many little puppies' lives. And I was like, They also could have bought like 100 jet skis. Fuck. Like, okay, if you've got if you've got like an $11 million, you do you. But don't buy a stamp. I will draw the line there. I will, like, if someone wants to buy a mansion, dude, if someone wants to buy, put a strip club in their own house, like Floyd Mayweather, right? I'm pretty sure he has that. Or 50 Cent. I forget. Someone has that. If you want to get a screen, big screen TV with virtual reality, what you do, you man, you fucking drop that money on Gucci. That's still honestly probably better spent than a stamp. I think we can all agree. Sure, Meg was like, yeah, put it, you know, put it towards something good, give it to charity. Yeah, that's good. Not as fun as jet skis, but still a great use of the money. But that makes me angry when people have like that much money and then they buy a 143-year-old stamp. It's like, I wouldn't be angry if they just, I don't know, bought a yacht to fuck up the ocean with. I'd be less angry. I'd be like, okay, cool. That's what rich people do. Fair enough. Sounds fun. Honestly. Sounds like a little bit of fun. But a stamp? Who's getting anything out of that? You buy it, then what? You look at it like, yeah, it's an old stamp. Was it worth $11 million, dude? How much? Oh, God. Imagine the personality that you lack to find that interesting. Look, good on it. Honestly, yeah, I get it. Everyone has their own interests, you know. Not everyone's into Mountain Dew and Cotton On. Think of how many fucking slabs of Mountain Dew you could cop with $11 million. You could probably buy Cotton On the franchise. Maybe not, but at least a couple of stores. I'm just telling you, there's better ways to spend that money, you know. So, that's it, guys. That made me furious. I was so angry. Buy a jet ski, dude. Don't buy a stamp. That's the moral of this podcast. If you come into a significant sum of money in your life, just remember this episode, right? Maybe this will end up being the most memorable episode of all for some of you. If you require $11 million, you'll be like, what to spend? You might win Tats Lotto or something. And they'll be like, well, I'm certainly not going to buy a fucking stamp with that money. That's insane. Guys, thank you very much for tuning into the episode. We'll leave it here. There's honestly not too much to update you all on other than the fact that I've literally been in a room for a week until this morning, and I walked around Darwin for 2 hours. So not a lot happened, you know? There was a lot of old men at the pub and not a lot going on at the Esplanade. That's it. That's all that's happened. But and I sold out my show. That was exciting. Perth is next weekend, dude. Next weekend, get on that. I would love to see you there. Biggest show I've ever done. And it's like 70% full, which is crazy. We sold like 700 tickets. So thank you so much. I'd love to get close to selling it out. Maybe even sell it out. That would be fucking unreal. And yeah, lukekidgell.com, Bunbury as well. And Queensland, fix your shit with COVID. I saw that was like another case today. It freaked me out. Hopefully it's all under control. And yeah, should see legends there. And in regards to the Adelaide show, more tickets will be released if you missed out, if restrictions eased and whatnot. Cool. All right, thank you very much for tuning in, legends. I'm going to go have some dinner. And yeah, sorry the podcast was a couple of days late, but just got fucked around again with the shows. And yeah, it was pretty unavoidable. And it's a bummer. But yeah. Thank you very much, everyone who's copped tickets. Thanks for tuning in to the podcast. Jump on the Patreon if you want to hear Luke and Meg episodes that we do on there. And other than that, guys, have a great week. Please don't spend $11 million on a fucking stamp. And, you know, shoot me through any niche Olympic stories that happened during the week and I'll recap them next week on the podcast. That's really been my thing this week. Niche Olympic tales. I've been loving it. Oh, and the 2 13-year-old girls that won this skating, dude. That was unbelievable. That was so sick. Do you know why 13-year-olds win the skateboarding? It's because that's a sport you should peak at when you're 13 years old. 100%. It just is. It's just one of those things that if you get to 17, you're either a pro or you're like me and you're just like, you're an adult now who has made this your identity. I skate now. Like, that's just me. Yeah, I'm going to skate on the S along the Esplanade tomorrow. Can't bloody wait. Going to have a fucking field day. Doesn't mean it's cool, right? But the 13-year-olds winning, that's the coolest shit I've ever seen. And there'd be nothing more humiliating than that. Speak it from someone who gets humiliated by teenagers a lot at skate parks these days. There'd be nothing worse than standing on the bronze podium, right? Or even not even getting a medal. Because the first two people, the gold and silver medalists in the women's street skateboarding, were 13 years old. Imagine being like 25, being like, fuck. This person's like, you know, almost half my age. And they both beat me. And it's their first ever Olympics. And also, actually not even in year 9 yet. So that's awesome. That's the best shit ever. Well done, those girls. That's so cool. Yeah, anyway, guys, lukekidgel.com for tickets. I'll see you guys next week. Thank you very much for tuning in. Bye.